this next one again, we haven't done in a little while, but it's called Always. And I really like the words of it. It talks about how our God is our deliverer again. But the bridge is just this total scripture. I lift my eyes up. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. And I can't tell you the times that that has brought me strength in the midst of a storm, that he has been the one who has given me the strength that I couldn't find on my own. So let's sing it out to him. Thank you. this is, again, just another song with beautiful truth. God is able. And again, there's moments when it's very, very evident to myself that I have no clue and that I don't know the way, or that I certainly feel that lost and need his wisdom. And you know, it's amazing to me that when we call upon the name of the Lord, that there he is. And so I'm always reminded that God is able no matter what I face. And so if you're struggling today, I want you to know that if you seek, you will find. Let's sing God is Able. How's everybody? Good? I'm doing okay. I had a hard Christmas. Some of you may know or may not know, but Charlie, my oldest hound, passed away right before Christmas. And so that was a hard deal. But you know what? The kids took it really well. Zoe, my youngest hound, was a mess on Christmas Day and the day after. So that was kind of an interesting thing, too. But my kids, who I was worried most about, did really well. And they really are part of your family, so if you've ever lost an animal, you'll know that that's kind of a hard thing. And to make matters worse, my mother-in-law is still here. So that's been hard, right? But anyway, she didn't come this morning, and I was going, Lord, thank you for the small blessings. They stayed home, and they're visiting. Of course, you guys know that it's hard to travel. When they go back, of course, they're going to quarantine themselves. They come from an area where there's nothing going on, but that's not the point. The point is they're trying to do their best to live, when possible, at peace with the laws of the land. And that's a biblical principle. So we didn't know when we would get to see them again. So even though I give Claire a hard time, I am glad that they're here. More so for my wife's sake than for my sake. But my tongue is raw from biting it. How many of you have a mother-in-law like that? Anybody? Whew, do you? Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that is she gone? No, just kidding. Okay, sorry. Wow, I don't know why we went there. Anyway. Guys, you know what? It's been a neat Christmas, and I hope that you have found joy. For some of us, it's been a separation. It's been a very different Christmas, right? I know that there were some people who were getting some Zoom calls. There were some people who just couldn't get together. We got a call from some great friends of ours from California the day before Christmas, and that was a beautiful time. But it's been a hard time. It's been a hard year, isn't it? Next week, we're going to kind of take a break from Romans and do our year in review, which is always an encouragement to me to look back, not necessarily at what's happened in the world, but what's happened in the church, and we give praise to God for all of that. But this week, I wanted to get through Romans 10 and 11. And again, I started a section last week that looked a little bit at the history, and that was chapter 9 of Romans. Chapter 10 and 11 deal with the present of Israel and really the future of Israel. And so it's kind of an interesting passage. And again, I told you guys last week that a lot of commentaries kind of skip over this or don't spend a lot of time on this. But for me, there is some rich truths that are found in this. That you know, we need to praise God for Israel's past because it did include us, right? And we need to be remembering Israel. And so Romans 10, I want to look at that this morning and then jump into 11. We're going to work through it pretty quickly. But this is kind of Paul's account of what is happening presently in Israel. Now, what's interesting is what was happening in Israel in his day is really kind of what's still happening in Israel today. And remember, the church then was very new. And so people were coming to know Jesus, but the Jews and the Gentiles alike were having a hard time grasping this knowledge of a Savior, right? And again, that's not different than today. Like when we talk to people, I don't know about you, but my evangelistic heart often runs into people and they say, it can't be that simple. Like, you mean I just got to believe and Jesus forgives me of all my wrongs? And I'm like, yeah. You just got to believe, and all of a sudden you're granted access into a holy God, into heaven one day, and the answer is yes. Jesus was the way, but for many, that's a hard, it's so simplistic that they think they're way out of heaven. And it's interesting because for the majority, especially the Jew that Paul and Peter were talking to, more so Peter talking to the Jews, they were having a hard time accepting that Christ the Messiah had come. Now, think about this with me. When you wait so long for something, when it finally arrives, it's kind of hard to grasp, isn't it? And I was thinking, what a better thing to illustrate that than Christmas. Christmas for kids. And I'm still this way a little bit. But I remember, like, we were so annoying, my brother and I, waiting for Christmas. My mom broke a few spoons coming up the week of Christmas, right? Because we were just so annoying, and we were at each other, and we were so excited, and then people would give us candy, and that really helped, right? And so we were so pumped. There were sleepless nights coming up to Christmas. Mom always had the Advent calendar. Now, we get these little Advent calendars when they come on sale a couple of days after December. We tell the kids, catch up now, right? Because they're cheaper, right? But my mom, she had this little crocheted Advent calendar, and it was just big enough for like two tiny candies. And every day, my brother and I, like even that, in December, we'd run down and we'd fight over the candies and we'd bet over the candies. And sometimes it'd be like, okay, last man standing gets both candies. And my mom was like, why do I do this every year? But it was one thing that would entertain us that would take up 10 to 45 minutes depending upon the fight. And so she would do this Advent calendar every year. And as we open the Advent calendar, again, we go, oh, it's so close. And then finally Christmas Day came, a sleepless night. Christmas Day came, and we couldn't believe it was Christmas. Like, we were numb. Like, we waited, and we wanted to get Dad up. But then you don't wake Dad up, because trust me, right, that never turned out well. And then when Dad got up, he would read the Christmas story, and we'd be like, we couldn't believe Christmas was here. Well, you know what? That's what a lot of the Jews would have been feeling. They had waited for a Savior. They had waited for a Messiah. They had waited for one who was going to save them and set them free. And to make matters worse, now that Jesus had come and their Savior had been realized, they did not get the freedom that they had expected. As you know, the Romans were still in rule, right? And so the Jews, they said, we've waited so long on this, and you know what? The Romans are still in charge. There's no way that guy named Jesus was our Savior. If he was our Savior, why didn't he save us? And Paul was going, guys, that's what I'm talking about. He didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom as you would understand it. He came to bring a heavenly kingdom that would live within your heart, and he wants to set you free. You free. And they'd say, no, he was just a moral teacher. We've waited so long, I can't believe that it's come. And you know what's interesting is, again, this present day in Israel is not an awful different than it was back in Paul's time. You know, there's a movement, and I praise God for this. How many of you have ever heard for Jews for Jesus? It's a big organization, and Jews for Jesus, what they do is they evangelize to Israel. And it's a big, big movement. It's kind of interesting, and I praise God for them because they're making inroads into Israel today. But for the most part, Israel still has rejected Jesus. In fact, those who travel to the region, this is kind of interesting to me, but I talk to people who've been there, and they'll say that Israel, for the most part, are atheists. And it kind of makes me sad, but the majority of the people there, they don't believe in God. Their confidence has kind of left God, as they would understand God of the Old Testament, and they kind of have placed their confidence in their political system and their military. And so that hurts, right? And I'm heard that even those who accept Jesus Christ as a Jew, there's been times, and this breaks my heart, but their families will actually have funerals for them because they kind of cut them off. And I'm sad about all of that happening, but it's interesting because that's our story today too, isn't it? That we have a choice just like Israel does. And you know, sometimes we get caught saying, well, you know what? God's people, man, they keep on making these mistakes. And I talked about this last week. Like, how many times has God been patient with them? Well, isn't that our story too? That time and time again, we fail God, and yet God is still patient with us. But remember, there's consequences, right? There's consequences when we miss the truth. And oftentimes, we take God for granted, too, where we don't listen or we spend time arguing with him instead of obeying him. And if we would only obey him, then our world and our county and our province and our country would change. But too often, we argue. And that's the story, not just of God's chosen people, but of God's adopted people as well. That some people will say, well, how in the world does the church not hold more influence in the world today? The answer is you and I. It's our disobedience. Why in the world do we not see miracles like we once did? The answer is still the same. You and I. There's times when God prompts us to pray and we just aren't listening, right? And so here is Paul again being heartbroken for his own people and saying, look at your present condition. We just looked at your history. How many times you have missed him? How many times you have ignored him? How many times have you been unfaithful to him? And now he says, let's look at the present, starting to read at verse 1 in chapter 10. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them and say they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. What is Paul doing here again? He's saying, you know what?
you guys have been criticizing me, again, speaking more to the Jew than to the Gentile, saying, I'm spending way too much time with the Gentiles, but I want to remind you guys that are Jews that you have maybe been seeking God, but you haven't been seeking God through the knowledge that we're preaching. And they were preaching Christ the Messiah and Christ the Savior and Christ the fulfillment of the law. And he was showing them a way to their righteousness, and they were still not receiving them. And Paul's heart is broken because they're missing out. And you know what's interesting, again, and I talked about it last week just for a second, that it's amazing to me how many people in our own lives are missing out on the gospel too. Is your heart broken for them? I don't know. That when we see the loss surrounding us, Paul was saying, my heart is broken. How can you miss the truth? And you know, sometimes we say, well, I don't want to bring up spiritual things because I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to bring up spiritual things because that's kind of personal, isn't it? You know, as Paul longs for the salvation of the Jews, I wish that we would long for those who are lost like that. And again, I said it last week, but Paul understands the consequences, the separation from God that is going to be for eternity. And I wish that we had a zeal like he had, fueled by love. So I want to ask you this morning, who is your Israel? And again, I asked you that last week, but we've got to stay on that. Who does your heart ache for? Because if the consequences are still forever, then my land, if you have the keys to heaven, why in the world would you not want to be sharing those with others? In verse 2, Paul says, yeah, they seek God, but not through this eyes of knowledge. Faith can be great, but without this knowledge of Jesus, you're still going to miss out. How many of you know spiritual people, but they don't know Jesus? That's terrifying to me. People who put their hope in something less than the way. And it's kind of scary to me. You know, it's a deception. Kirtland has been reading the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, finally. I've been telling him for years to read that because it's kind of an interesting book. And it's what the premise of the book is this, is you've got an uncle demon and a nephew demon, and the nephew is coming to the uncle who's very successful demon, talking about all the strategies that they could have to deceive you and I. Fascinating read, right? But this deception, and one of the big deceptions of the world today is it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. Well, you know, that's a lie. And I'm sorry that people have kind of bought that lie, but the reality is Jesus says that there is no way to the Father except through him, and that's what Paul is kind of trying to say here. Verse 3, that they're ignorant of God's righteousness. That they want to try to grab that righteousness alone, to earn it. And Paul is saying, no, you're missing out on that. And here's the truth. Great people are still lost without Jesus. That should move us into action. Verse 4 says, Christ was that fulfillment, that climax of the law. He came to make everything right. And you know what? As good as you can be, you can't be good enough. We still need him to pay that punishment. We still need him to satisfy that requirement of the law. And even though we try to reach for God, and that's what we see in that spirituality in our world today, people reaching for God, they cannot grasp him, right? It's amazing to me. They're knocking on the door, but it's only Jesus who holds the key. It's vital that we share him. And Paul is saying that to the Jewish nation. It's imperative that you seek him, that you know him, that you receive him, that you call upon his name, and yet they weren't. Again, chapter 10, verses 13 to 15, salvation is what they need. And Paul goes on to say this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news. That's the essence of the gospel. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In that small portion of Scripture, I hope that you see yourself in there. Because Paul is asking some pretty incredible questions. And this was to the Jew and to the Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles were the ones who were kind of receiving Christ as Savior, while the Jews were kind of holding out. And what is Paul saying? He's saying, look it, regardless of who is holding out, they will never know unless they hear. And they will never hear unless you say. And we all should have a heart that is ready to go. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The world around us, Digby County, what do they need? They need Jesus. What you have. And it's the only way to secure their eternity, the only way for them to get to God, the only way for them to have that ticket into heaven. But who's going to go? That is your and my calling. That we would let our light so shine before men that they would see our good deeds and they would glorify our Father in heaven. That, you know what, being kind, is that too much to ask? Is loving your neighbor too much to ask? Because, you know, you're commanded even to love your enemy. That is our calling. And Paul is reminding his listeners of that very truth and that very thing. And yet we see here that, you know what, the Jews, they've missed it. They've missed it. They've missed it because they waited so long on the Messiah. They can't believe that he's finally come. Right? And again, this is the same thing that broke Jesus' heart. You think about it when he was giving his seven warnings. His seven warnings. If you ever want to read that, it's in Matthew 23. And again, he was given seven warnings to the people. And verse 37, he goes on to say this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers the chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left to the desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Paul's heart is echoing Jesus' heart that, you know what, he is broken for those who will not understand and see through this new knowledge of grace. And we celebrate it today. What did that cost Jesus, my land? It cost him everything. It cost him everything. And yet still, even though we have that knowledge, there's times where we take that for granted and we spit in the face of God Almighty. Like we are sickening on a lot of levels. And yet God's grace is still for us. So before we get mad at Israel for missing it, I hope that we would understand how often we miss it too. So again, let's get personal. Who is your Israel? Who is your heart broken for? Who is your heart passionate enough to share the truth with? Because that is our calling, to hear the heart of God. Verse 21, again, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. That God reaches for the lost, arms stretched out. Won't we have a heart like that? Where we would have arms stretched out, being willing to help those who have yet to believe? Are you kidding me? To invest in the lost? Is that too much to ask? And so Paul is talking to those who have found that righteousness. And he's pleading to those who have yet to find that righteousness. And he goes right on in chapter 11. He outlines that God has been faithful, yes, in the past. We talked about it last week. He talks about God's faithfulness and his patience with us now in the future. Even those of us who are not being that vocal acknowledgement that Jesus lives. And he goes on to say, you know what? God is going to be faithful even into the future. Romans 11. Has God forgotten them? Look at this, Romans 11, verses 1 and 2. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means, I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Again, he's still coming against this argument, right? God hasn't forgotten us. And then again, I've been asking you to read some other prophecies and some other scriptures, but if you have some time this week, look at Ezekiel 38 and 39. God tells of this great battle that is to come when we look at Israel's future again. Again, just don't be missing it, that even though they're going to be have their back against the wall, even though there's going to be devastating losses that get their attention, they will not be wiped out. Because even though there is consequences for rejecting God, and even God's chosen are going to feel some consequences, read those chapters, but there's still going to be a future. Why? Because God is going to be faithful even when you're faithless. Paul knew that. Verses 1 to 5, he says, God doesn't forget. There has always been a remnant, and there always will be a remnant. God's people have a place, and nothing will destroy them. Not time, not an enemy, not nations of the world. And who does he use? He uses Elijah as an example. Look at these verses. Don't you know what Scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appeared to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him, right? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. So he's reminding these people that Elijah stood, even though he thought he was alone. He wasn't alone at all. There was still 7,000, even though the nation was under the consequences of a terrible king and a terrible spiritual ruler at the time that were trying to destroy. There was no way Elijah was alone because God remembered them. And what happens? You know what happens. Elijah, in his discouragement, an angel comes and meets him, and he says, you need to sleep, dude. And when he gets up, the angel has a cake baked for him. A bread cake. And Elijah, after sleeping and eating, all of a sudden gets his strength renewed to him and his hope renewed to him and the promise that he's not alone. And he goes back and he calls down fire from heaven and then destroys all the false prophets and he restores the nation. Again, that even when Israel is on its back of its heels and its back is against the wall, we should remember them because God remembers them. We should understand their place because God knows their place. Chapter 11, verse 11, again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentile to make Israel envious. Think about that. That is one of the most beautiful verses for us as Gentiles that was ever written. But you know what? In Israel's indecision and their fickle heart of always turning from God and then wanting God in times of trouble, then turning from God when things turn around, it's amazing to me that all of a sudden we have been given a place in this great cosmic scheme that God is writing that the Gentiles are to make Israel envious. That because we have received grace, now this would have been the slap in the face to all of Paul's readers saying, you know what? You're mad at me for preaching to the Gentiles, but they're the ones who are getting it, and you are missing the salvation that came to you. And so God opened it up, baby, and the family just got bigger. And you know what? When your brothers and sisters in Christ are feeling the blessings of an almighty living God, hopefully then you will come to your senses. And it even goes on to say that they'll get envious. Even while God waits for his chosen, guess what? His love still grows. And while the Jews were stubborn, his love was extended to the Gentiles. Praise Jesus, his love was big enough for even me. God's love for you, God's love for you is included with Israel's future. Wow. Right? That God would use all things, that his plan is bigger than us. Right? It's amazing to me. Look at verse 12. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, their loss means riches for us. How much greater will their riches be when their full inclusion bring? So again, God hasn't forgotten them, but God's design was to bring you in so that the family would be even bigger. Why? So that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That verse 12 holds that promise that shows God's bigger design, that God didn't replace his people with the Gentiles. No. God's love just expanded. And now we're part of that puzzle of God's chosen. And you know what? Their envy one day in the future will cause them to return. And you know this. You read Revelation. When prophets that are proclaiming the Messiah, Jesus, that had come and died and rose again, you know the Antichrist is going to do what? He's going to kill them. In the streets, they're going to lay there for 3 days dead. CNN and everybody else is going to cover it. You know what's going to happen after that? They're going to rise from the dead. You know what's going to happen? The Jews are going to say, they proclaimed Christ. We denied Christ. These fellers that were once dead are now alive. We have missed him. Oh, that God would receive us back into the family of God. The Gentiles. Paul was right. Listen to this. Again, catch this. Verse 17 and following. If some of the branches have been broken off for you, some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Think about this warning, but think about this blessing. Be careful, church. Don't take your position for granted. God's love is beautiful, and his people have not been forgotten. The truth is you've just been included. You were grafted in, but it's the root that still supports you. The Jews being broken made a place for you to fit in. Be smart. Don't take that for granted, folks. Cherish your place in the kingdom of God and be praying for the family that has yet to return home. That's why we're to remember Israel. Eventually, think about this, eventually they will be moved to jealousy, jealousy for the love that we have already received. Then all of a sudden, when the prophets come back to life, they'll be saying, man, you know what? All those Gentiles that proclaim Jesus, you know, they told us they died in a pandemic, but they're gone, aren't they? They went to be with Jesus. They were raptured, and we missed the rapture. Are you kidding me? And they'll call upon the name of Jesus. Woo! That's crazy, and yet beautiful. Verse 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles have come in. There's a window for us that God's love included us. And remember the road that led us here? It was carved through their hardship. It was carved through their pain. And so we need to love and respect the price that was paid by our forefathers, by the family of God, and the price that it cost him. Verse 26, and in this way all Israel will be saved. Now catch this key, verse 29 and following. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Mercy for you. Mercy for me. Mercy for the Jews when all of a sudden the love of God brings them home. His love is irrevocable. Don't think you replace them. It was just opened to us. That all of us have been disobedient, so don't start pointing a finger at the Jew. His plan was big enough for them and for you. Verse 36, for from him and through him and for him are all things. All are his. All are his. All are his. And we should be grateful, never taking that for granted. Stand in awe and never stop praying for our brothers and sisters in Israel because their return is coming soon. Then the family, think about this, the family will be restored. Oh, what a day that will be. Whew. You know, when we talk about the parties that will happen in the New Jerusalem, people say, man, that's going to get boring. It will never be boring. You know, the universe is still expanding because God is still creating places for us to explore, to experience. The Bible says that heaven is full of wonders that we can't fathom. It's all because God's grace is big enough. Big enough to include you and I. Everybody bow your heads. You see, while these three chapters talk about Israel, their past, their present, and their future, really it shows the way we fit into that puzzle. That their hardship, even their disobedience, led to you. So God opened up the family, even if it was to make your brothers and sisters a little jealous in a time to come. Praise the Lord that we were grafted into the vine. And oh, that we would never, ever forget the root. Never forget the root. That we would hold Israel in a place of esteem. And that we would be praying for them. That we would be holding them high. Again, when you watch the news, see what is going on there. And be thankful for grace. Let grace be our song. And let's sing it loud until the day of his great return. You know, as I've read these three chapters, I've been in awe. But somehow, in the mess, God included me. Somewhere in the mess, his love reached out to me. And my prayer is that you would never miss that. That you would never take it for granted. And maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I'm not part of the family of God. What in the world are you doing? He gave it all so that you could be free. He gave it all so that you could be free. And if you have found that freedom, then never take it for granted. Let your light so shine before the lost. Let your zeal be that of God's. That you would weep for them. And oh, that we would never forget Israel. That we would pray for our brothers and sisters who have yet to return. And I'm telling you, the return is close. Wow. There's a day I didn't think I would see it. I thought, well, maybe my kids and my grandkids. There's a day where I'm thinking I may see it. His return is close. Oh, that you'd be prepared. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to say thank you. Your plan was big enough for me. that you would include the Gentiles, Lord. Ah. And Lord, I weep. I weep because, again, just like Paul, Israel is missing you. It breaks my heart that so many there are atheists today, that so many there rely on their military, so many there today rely on their politicians, Father God. It breaks my heart. But Lord, I long for the day that is soon to come when there'll be this great reunion, when our brothers and sisters will lift high the name of Jesus, and you will restore this world. There'll be a 1,000-year reign. We'll see what Eden was supposed to be. And then the enemy will be locked away for eternity, and we'll go to our reward. Are you kidding me? Oh, what a day that will be. God, I pray that we would never, ever take it for granted. We'd never take you for granted. Thank you for the past, the present, and the future to come. In Jesus' name, amen.